Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Thanks so much for joining us. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. And we're really excited today because it's time for our second installment of Favorites with Friends. If you guys don't remember, this is the series we do on our show where we bring in one or two or some really cool people that we're big fans of and bring them onto the show to talk about their favorite video game music. And today we're so lucky to be joined by Stephen and Brian Kelly from WalesAreWhales.com. Thanks for joining us, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, given that intro, I'm wondering why you had us on. But it's awesome to be here, and sorry for talking over you, Stephen. We should know better by now.
That's okay. That's what we do. We talk over each other. I just want to say I am so excited to be here behind the scenes of a Mercado Bros episode.
Yeah.
Because I hear that intro like every week. It's like, oh, I'm backstage. Oh, man. What am I going to say?
Oh, that's cool.
Exactly.
You know, I had a similar thing when we were on Top Score. She records the intros and stuff separately, so yeah. I was actually really looking forward to hearing her say, "This is Top Score, an exploration of video game soundtracks." But she never did it, so I was actually kind of bummed I didn't get to see that live.
Yeah, Will was actually really pissed. No, just kidding. Sorry, listeners. I just want to apologize right at the top that I do have a sore throat this week, so hopefully you can stand my voice. But yeah,
excuses.
It's going to be a really good time. If you guys are remember, it's been a long time. Our first one, we had our friend Tim Turry on. This is our second Favorites with Friends, and this is, I believe, the fourth time, the only time on the podcast they're having four people total.
Well, and speaking of Tim, recently Carl, Marty, and myself, along with Emily Reese and Tim Turry, we actually did a panel at a convention in the Twin Cities called Gamers Rhapsody, and that was really a success. I enjoyed
it. It was a blast.
Did you think so as well, Carl?
It was great. I really look forward to seeing what happens to this convention in the future. I mean, I think it was a pretty good turnout, but it was kind of low key,
right?
Not anything like under what they were expecting, but I really am looking forward to seeing where this convention goes in the future, because I think it could be really cool.
Totally. Anyway, so whose track are we starting off with?
Well, what you guys heard playing in with was a track that both Stephen and Brian, I asked them to pick one track that they both really resonate with. So that's their mutual track. That's Elder Scrolls III Morrowind by the great Jeremy Soule. That was Nerevar Rising. Do you guys want to, before we get going, do you want to just say a little bit about this track?
This is pretty much both of our favorite video game picks of all. Like,
it's my least favorite.
This is my favorite video game song. Like,
yeah, it's awesome.
It's a very special game to us. We spent many, many hours exploring Morrowind, and it's one of those songs that sticks with you because of those memories. You know, those kinds of songs, like, it just brings you right back.
Right.
What's interesting about this song is, for people familiar with the Elder Scrolls, this is basically the theme song of the whole series since Morrowind, so there's a rendition of this in Oblivion and in Skyrim done in their own styles. My favorite is still Morrowind. And what's interesting is it both plays at the title screen and it'll also play throughout the game. So it's not only tied into my memory of like starting this game up and seeing this title screen and going on what was really the grandest RPG adventure I'd ever been on. But then it also would play as I played the game. So it's tied into so many memories of actually being in that world.
Totally.
That's awesome. Yeah. And before we get going here, what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to do a Brian track, a Steven track, and we're going to go back and forth. I had Steven and Brian pick seven of their personal favorite video game tracks. And if anyone hasn't heard our first installment, this is kind of more of a personal look at what your favorite video game music means to you. You know, a lot of times in the podcast, we're focusing on a series or a composer, and we don't really have a lot of time to talk about personal experiences. That's why we're really looking forward to today to kind of share some stories about, you know, why this music is so important to you guys. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's get things started here. We're going to start things off with a track of Brian's. This is from Ace Combat 5. This soundtrack was composed by Kiki Kobayashi, and the track that Brian wanted us to play is Briefing 2. Now, before we play this, Brian, give us a little bit of context about maybe when you first played this game, when you first heard this piece.
Absolutely. So what's interesting about Ace Combat 5 is I have not actually played this Ace Combat game. I started with Ace Combat 4 a really long time ago, and the music seemed amazing to me. It really blew me away. And some years later, I looked up other Ace Combat games and looked up their soundtracks, and I came across 5. And it is probably my favorite of the series. I've listened to 4, 5, and 6. And it really resonated with me. The percussion to me is fantastic. It mixes kind of militaristic elements with techno and more modern elements, and just that entire blend they had just really spoke to me. And Ace Combat 5, even though I've never played the game, it is one of my favorite video game soundtracks.
Awesome. Well, let's take a listen. With that said, this is Ace Combat 5 Briefing 2. You're listening to Briefing 2 from Ace Combat 5, composed by Kaiki Kobayashi. And I remember we played a track from either 4 or 5 not too long ago, and I remember having a similar kind of combination of that electronic sounds mixed with orchestra, and I remember being equally impressed with that track. Now, Brian, what is it about this track, specifically in the soundtrack, that kind of stands out to you?
I think it's... A few things. It's really a synthesis of everything I like about the soundtrack. Some of the pieces are purely orchestral, some of it is more electronic. This really blends the two. With the modern rock kit especially, like, I think one of the most special things is how they blend that percussion in with the orchestra. That's something that's always gotten to me, and I just...
Yeah, I remember in that track we played a while ago, it was like, this shouldn't work. I don't know why it's working. Right. Like, on paper, it would be cheesy, but it actually works.
Exactly, and it's also a remix of the main theme of the game, which is actually like a 7-minute piece performed by a choir, and it's fantastic. But this is a...
Funny, we talk about like eclectic ensembles all the time in video game music. I was reading an interview with Koji Kondo actually recently, and he's talking about when he was first working early on the Super Nintendo, because it was the first time where instruments didn't necessarily just sound like synthesizers. So he was thinking, you know, what can make this sound like a video game? And the thing that he was talking about is having that eclectic variety of instruments, where it's something that you might not hear with a real performed like symphony. So I think that's what's cool, is you get that all throughout video games, where you can have these just weird instrument choices and combining more classical instruments.
And it's cool
with
that we still get
ones.
That in this generation. I think that's really cool. So now I think it's time to move on. We got to kind of keep the ball rolling, because we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about today. Sorry if I kind of go too fast on some of your favorite music, but we got to keep going here. So now we're going to move on to a track of Stevens. This is, it's not, you know, he didn't write it, but it's one he picked. You really wish, because this is composed by Jake Kaufman. This is from Mighty Switch Force 2. We finally got a chance to meet Jake this weekend at Gamers Rhapsody. Such a talent, modern talent in the world of video game music. This is Dalmatian Station. Now, quick context, Steven, maybe like when you first played this game or heard this track.
Yeah, well, the Mighty Switch Force series is how I was introduced to Jake Kaufman as a human being.
Okay.
So it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life. and this is from the sequel, Mighty Switch Force 2. No longer are you a police officer, but you're now a firefighter, hence the Dalmatian reference.
Ah.
So it's still a really fast-paced puzzle platformer. You're still running around while this crazy music is playing, but you're also putting out fires and you have a hose.
Quick interesting anecdote of how you got introduced to Mighty Switch Force is we had done some game music bundle where Mighty Switch Force, the soundtrack for the original, came with it. And I listened to it, and I'm like, this is Steven music. Mm-hmm. This is completely Steven music. And I'm like, I love this, but you have to listen to this, because this is going to be your favorite music ever. And that's how he got introduced to the game.
That's really, really cool.
And to this day, it is still probably my favorite Jake Coffin music, and that's saying a lot.
Well, let's take a listen to Dalmatian Station from Mighty Switch Force 2 by Jake Coffin. So good. You're listening to Dalmatian Station from Mighty Switch Force 2, composed by, obviously, Jake Coffin. It's unmistakable. Gosh, this is so cool. Steven, talk a little bit about what this track means to you personally.
Man, the Mighty Switch Force soundtracks are just full of joy. They are just going from the very beginning, and they don't stop. Like, Dalmatian Station, there are some other songs I almost brought. Soap Patrol Alpha and Glow are also awesome songs. That last one is what kicked off their original trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's the real, I think one of the beauties of the Mighty Switch Force soundtrack is how in the game you are trying to go as fast as you possibly can, right? You know, you're trying to time attack things. You as fast as you can go, the game's going to try to keep up with that. And the music is the thing that's keeping you going every step of the way. And so,
yeah.
It doesn't stop. You just listen to those beats, and those beats are just so infectious, and it just makes you happy.
What I love is Jake Coffin is so talented at production. You know, it's like he's so nailing a specific kind of, compositionally it sounds more like old school video game music, but it's a very kind of tight modern pop sound, right. It's very compressed, mm-hmm. and limited really hard, but the thing that I really enjoy is, especially being such a big fan of his more chip music like Shovel Knight, you can really hear some similarities in some of the rhythmic motifs that he uses.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He really has the da-da-da, those kind of things.
You can hear similarities in all of his music, definitely. He definitely has his own compositional style, but I think what's so cool about the combination of compositionally kind of more retro, and some people would say cheesy, but there's a sense of humor to it, mixed with the modern sounds, is it makes it, you can't help but listen to it. Like, you can't ignore this music. It's in your face, and it's so dang loud, too.
Yes, yes. And I think one of the magical things is how many elements are within this song that can be expanded into songs of their own, right? Like,
yeah.
There are so many moments where you're like, oh, that sounded awesome, but we're moving on to the next thing. And the whole soundtrack
hey,
is like
speaking
that.
Of that, we're moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done a better segue. We're now going to move on to a Brian choice. This is Gianna Sisters' Twisted Dreams. I'm really curious about this. Just so you guys know, this is another type of episode we like because, unlike most episodes, we haven't heard these tracks before, so I'm excited to hear these. This is a surprise for us. I knew the original Gianna Sisters. What was that for, the Amiga or the C64?
But yeah,
this must
something
be,
like that.
Tell us about this game.
Sure. So this was the inverse from the last story with Mighty Switch Force, where Steven found this game, and he came to me and said, this is you music, Brian. You're going to love this. So Gianna Sisters is kind of like a spiritual successor, I believe, that was kickstarted for the PC and the Xbox 360 and so forth. And it's a side-scrolling platformer.
Because this is the original composer, by the way. Chris Hulsbeck did the original Gianna Sisters.
It is, and he composed the music for it, but they brought in like Machina Supremacy, which is a metal video game kind of band. They do like video game inspired metal music, and I don't like their original stuff that much, but they do work for Giana Sisters and work with like these classical video game melodies and make them like these. It's really incredible rock stuff they do that you'll hear. And just,
well, yeah, with that said, let's take a listen to this track. The track that Brian picked was In Game 5, and this is composed by Chris Hulsbeck as well as Fabian Del Prior. So let's take a listen to In Game 5. Cool. You're listening to In Game 5 from Giana Sisters' Twisted Dreams, and this is composed by Chris Hulsbeck and Fabian Del Priore.
There's a lot of really cool guitar sounds in this. What do you really like about it?
A lot of cool guitar sounds. So that's part of what I like about it, because kind of my background in music
You're kind of a, not a Satriani. Are you a Satriani person?
I like him. I like Steve Vai. It's interesting because my introduction to making music or learning any instrument was playing electric guitar about maybe 5 years ago. And so I very much come from that background. Also growing up on a lot of Sonic stuff, Sonic Adventure games especially. Like,
oh yeah, I see that on this playlist, Brian.
Yes, exactly. I've been introduced very much from a rock metal kind of context, especially video game style rock and metal. So this really spoke to me. It just has so many great riffs, and it keeps like the vibrant joy of a video game soundtrack with the rock of a metal soundtrack.
Well, one thing that we can tie this to the track we just heard from Mighty Switch Force is the production is really polished and really modern, but it's a little bit kind of happier than most like modern rock you would hear on the
radio.
That's
what I love about it,
You know what the groove of this song reminds me of is Dirtmaker from Led Zeppelin, kind of like a slight reggae feel to it.
I've seen that. Yeah, it's really great, and I think just it's kind of rare to find this kind of just optimism and fun in a lot of metal music out there. That's why I love it when metal is combined with video game music.
And you're not alone.
Yeah, that's a really great observation about how you can take sort of like the passion and intensity and like fire of that instrumentation, but with really kind of the fun and optimism of video game music.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that inspires a lot of my own guitar composition for sure.
Awesome, awesome. So now it's time to go back to Steven. This is a pick he wants us to play from Soul Calibur 3. This game was composed by Junichi Nakatsuru, and the track that he chose was The Oath. Now, before we play this, give us some context of Soul Calibur 3 for you.
Well, first I have to say that Nakatsuru is kind of an antagonistic figure for Brian and I, because Brian's more of an Ace Combat guy. I'm more of a Soul Calibur guy. Music-wise, and he did a lot of music for both of those series. So we're always arguing over which is his greater masterwork.
That's funny.
Well, this song is a big point in your camp here, Steve.
Oh my god, is it?
Talk about good guitar, but
funny thing
go
about
ahead.
This song is I don't know if I ever encountered it in-game, despite the fact that I played a lot of Soul Calibur. I know it's an ending. I think it's either to Siegfried's story or maybe Sophitia's story. One of their stories. And it's very short, very subdued, very simple, but has a place in my heart as one of the most moving video game songs that I can remember.
Well, let's take a listen to The Oath from Soul Calibur 3. Beautiful. That was The Oath from Soul Calibur 3, composed by Junichi Nakatsuru. Wow. Yeah, I see what you're talking about there, Steven. Why don't you just kind of dive deeper into, you know, this track a little bit?
To me, The Oath, well, for starters, there are actually two versions, I should mention.
Okay.
One has a bit of an orchestral backing, and one is just the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Both of them beautifully capture a single moment, and I find it interesting that I can't remember what that moment is in the game.
Yeah, but it's a shame, really.
You may have never experienced it. We didn't go through all the stories.
I've definitely seen it on YouTube before. I've researched this song a lot because I was just so amazed by it. This is back when I was doing more writing. I was like writing novels and such. And just playing this at the right moment would bring my emotions alive, and like I think that's what I love about it so much.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned emotions, because it is very emotional. It reminds me of, you know, 80s and 90s film music, just in how lyrical and kind of syrupy the melodies are, and just the production. It's very reverby and lush. It takes its time, you know. It's not concerned at being subtle or cool or minimal. Like, it's really just kind of giving you all that saturated emotional context at once.
And Soul Calibur is very much known for its almost flamboyant, like extreme epicness of its music. So it's very nice to hear this calmer kind of personal moment.
Yeah, I guess saturated sounds right, where it's like at either end of the spectrum, it's either like really intense or it's really, you know, sweet and beautiful.
Awesome. Well, I think with that, let's move on to Brian again. And he wants to play a track from Richard, and the track is Space Debris Space Synth Remix, composed by Marcus Captain Karlonen.
It looks like your name is in there, Carl. I'm going to start calling you Karlonen.
A little bit of context, please, Brian.
Yeah, so this, I feel like I'm just throwing you curveballs with this stuff, because this is, again, a game I haven't actually played, but
still
a song and a person who means a lot to me, because...
Well,
so
guys,
this guy,
you should know that if we only limited it to music from games we've played, we wouldn't have a podcast.
That's a good point. Just when you say, you know, favorites and memories, you think people would normally take, you know, stuff they've played.
Well, that's what Tim Turry did, so this is very different.
This is an exception. I promise I got more stuff that I've actually played, but this is interesting because this guy was actually a producer for a band called Poets of the Fall, and they did music for Alan Wake and for Max Payne 2 as well.
Oh, nice.
From Finland, and Remedy is as well.
Yes,
and they did,
like, Finnish development team,
exactly. So they did different songs that were in there in the context of those games. They're kind of like a rock alternative band, and I really got into them after hearing them in Alan Wake. They're probably my favorite band. So this guy means a whole lot to me. So I found out that he was doing music for this new game coming out. And this specific song is interesting because it actually came from... He is remixing a song that he made at the very beginning of his music career. He used to do Amiga mod music.
I like it.
Way back, like in the 90s or something.
Is this going to sound like Amiga music a little bit?
It does.
Good. I think I'm going to like it then.
A 90s PC sci-fi game you would find.
I know I'm going to like it already. Well, let's take a listen to Space Debris from Richard.
Thank you.
That is the most Amiga thing I've ever heard. That is Space Debris Space Synth Remix from Richard by Marcus Captain.
You sound like
Carlonen.
The King's Speech over here. Space.
So, a little bit more. I need to hear a little bit more personal connection to this piece.
Sure. For me, it was, I've never followed a band as much as I follow this one and just try to find everything they've done, even demos from old stuff they've worked on, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so when I found out this guy was working on a game, I had to hear it. And this just rings of his style to me. He's not this cheesy and like 90s typically, but just the quality of his melody and how he can bring different elements together and just his production standards are fantastic. So
yeah, this song kicks a lot of booty.
I was saying when we were listening to this that it reminds me of Moby, the Amiga composer, not the famous musician. But yeah, there's an Amiga guy called Moby that this sounds a lot like him.
Yep, and that's just totally my personal connection. It's just, I love that band so much, and it's so cool to see how much breadth their producer and their keyboardist has.
Yeah.
He can tackle this style, he can also tackle completely serious, he can tackle complete rocking. Like, he has a breadth, and he does it with so much talent with whatever he's trying, so.
That's awesome. Well, now I'm excited, because this is a game that I think Will and myself, we've definitely heard of. I don't think either of us have played it, but this game is Thomas Was Alone, and the track that Steven picked is Where Are You? Do you want to give us a little context here?
All right,
I just want to jump in here real quick and say I'm really mad I forgot about this game when I was picking my tracks.
Well, you want to talk emotional connection, guys.
That's what brothers are for.
I've never been more personally touched by a game in my life than Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah, I agree.
I will not go into depth on what the game is. I'd really rather not spoil it. I will just say that it is a game in which all the characters are differently shaped, two-dimensional, colored blocks. And they are more real to me than almost any other cast I've ever seen in
Well, maybe we should just play the music and kind of let it speak for itself.
That's a good idea.
This is Where Are You, composed by David Housden from Thomas Was Alone. What a unique and beautiful piece. That is Where Are You from Thomas Was Alone, composed by David Housden. What a cool combination of, obviously you have kind of a simple pop chord progression with a piano and some strings, but those interesting bleeps and bloops really kind of make it more spacey. And it's weird how that, for me, just listening to the piece, almost makes it more emotional than the piano. What do you think, Steven?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. I think that Thomas Was Alone is very much a game about a sense of space, specifically negative space, how much there isn't, how much black space there is. And it almost sounds like these instruments are all playing into a void, but they're playing into that void together. Like,
that's awesome.
There's that.
What's interesting about the game and the soundtrack is, you know, you combine the human element of the piano with the digital element, and it's very much about bringing emotion out of these 8-bit blocks. Mm-hmm. So the music kind of captures that too.
Exactly. It's somehow able to capitalize on a bit of your nostalgia without becoming a self-indulgent chiptune soundtrack.
It doesn't feel like a retro,
right. Right. It's very much a story here and now that is personal about real people, but in the guise of a video game. And they even make kind of sly jokes about that in the game. It's just very, very beautiful, emotional, and I cannot recommend this game and its soundtrack enough.
We will definitely have to look into that.
We have some homework now, don't we, Carl?
We do. We've been putting it off, but on a Kelly's episode, we cannot have this long without playing a Sonic track, I guess. So, we're going to play...
And it's not from the Genesis, guys.
Your enthusiasm is infectious, Carl.
Yeah, none of these tracks are old school, which is interesting.
Did you guys
get into video game music more in like later generations, would you say?
So, that's an interesting thing we were just talking about today, is we played games a little bit throughout the 90s, but we didn't own a console until the last year of the N64, like in 2001.
There you go.
And then we got a GameCube in 2002. So we grew up like on GameCube era and some N64 games.
Well, there you go. This is your wheelhouse then. Well, then I think we're going to play a track. This is Sonic Adventure 2. And the track that Brian wanted us to play is That's the Way I Like It by Jun Senoway. Okay, want to set this up before we play this?
Sure. First of all, that's an ironic name considering our discussion. and beyond that, this plays like, I believe, the second or third level for Sonic. It's a really fast stage. The stage itself takes like 2 minutes to beat. And it was just, to me, it almost has like a ska vibe to it along with a rock vibe and just portrays the energy and fun of, I think, modern Sonic soundtracks and what I like so much about this composer. So
awesome. Let's take a listen to That's the Way I Like It. Listening to That's the Way I Like It from Sonic Adventure 2, composed by Jun Senoway. Really does sound like a Senoway melody. One thing I'm noticing today is, I don't know why, but a lot of these tracks are kind of like pop songs. Like when I think about the chords and the structure and the melodies, that must be something that really resonates with you guys as far as video game music goes. Like when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking the Gianna Sisters track, the Switch Force track.
Kaufman.
I mean, a lot of this stuff, it's pop music as far as the actual structure of it, but it's done in like a video game kind of format. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think that's probably that's a good insight. I think a couple of reasons. One is, as we talked about before, like you very much get that bright, optimistic, fun sound from it.
Yeah,
and that's something we often really enjoy from video games. And also, I think it was something that the stuff we grew up with was very influenced by it. Similar to how
like our two primary teachers when it came to video game music when we were kids were the melody-driven stuff of Grant Kirkhope. And the rock pop vibe of the Sonic Adventure games. I'm sure that's influenced this entire playlist.
Yeah, melody has always been like our number one thing when it comes to like having that catchy, fun, upbeat melody has always been like what resonates.
That's what the song has. Like that it's a very short loop, but it'll get stuck in your head forever and it's really good.
Well, you guys can come back anytime as long as you mention the importance of good melody. That is that is a pillar of the Marcato Brothers
and
mantra.
And you are right. This does have a good melody. So now, with that said, let's move
on
to...
One of my favorites. Oh, I love this.
You were just mentioning it, so it's good that we have at least one Grant Kirkhope track in this playlist. This is Viva Pinata. This happens to be Will's favorite track.
Every winter, I listen to this soundtrack like crazy because it just it's so much of it. There's wonderful. So many like snow and cold themed levels that it just gets me in the spirit.
Yeah, I'm sure Stephen, you didn't know that, but yeah, Oven Fresh Day is a track that Stephen picked for us today.
Yes, I did indeed. This is my favorite track from both Viva Pinata games.
Yeah.
To me, this is the song that you want to be playing when your eyes open on the start of a brand new day. Like, I have done that before. Yeah. I have gotten out of bed, reached for my phone, and played Oven Fresh Day. It was a great day. I recommend everyone do it.
That's awesome. Well, let's take a listen to Oven Fresh Day, composed by the wonderful Grant Kirkhope. You're listening to Oven Fresh Day from Viva Pinata by the lovable Grant Kirkhope.
Perfect adjective.
Talk to us about what this track means to you, Stephen.
Is it just me or did it get happier in here?
It did get a lot happier.
Yeah, I think so, man.
All that tension is gone.
Well, there was so much between the breaks, guys. You don't even know.
Two sets of brothers on one podcast. It's kind of dangerous.
Oh, but this, like, the melody of this song just gets right in your heart. It's so optimistic. It's so, well, I wanted to say fresh, and I guess that's what he was going for. It just feels like the possibilities are now unlimited. And the orchestra that Grant got together for this soundtrack is just so professional and beautiful, and they put everything into it. It's just...
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Too many feelings.
I think he said this was they recorded this in Prague, if I remember correctly.
I think so. Yeah.
So
you would
good.
Never ever think to look at that cover art at a game store or something and say that it's going to have a like top tier wonderful orchestra in it.
I thought you were saying you would never think music this good would come from Prague.
I gotta stop you.
That's
right
an interesting comment.
Oh my gosh. No, this is so beautiful. I got that track is because I write a lot of orchestral music, and that is one of the tracks that for me was just so seminal. I would listen to it a lot when I was learning orchestration, and just because it's like the kind of orchestral music that I really love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I shouldn't be too surprised, but the next track on our playlist from Brian is another Sonic track. This is coming to us from Sonic in the Secret Rinks. Now, I'm losing track. When did this come out, and what system was this for?
All right, so this was a Sonic game on the Wii. It had you using like the Wii controller and tilting it.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
I remember playing this. We rented this. This was kind of fun.
It was a pretty good game. But the thing that really blew my mind about it was that not so much the gameplay as the soundtrack. It was really weird. They got in these people called Rumblebee.
Rumblebee is just this dude.
Just a guy, okay.
He raps for, like, a few Sega games, and otherwise I can't
find... Did you
find...
say rap?
It's not heavily hip-hop, but...
Oh, God.
Okay, so... It's an interesting soundtrack because basically the theme of the game is that it's like a storybook game taking place in the Arabian Nights. So it mixes kind of an Arabian style with Sonic rock and pop with
you know
hip-hop.
What that calls for? Some rapping. That's what the kids will like these days.
We're testing you guys with this.
MC Knuckles.
MC Knuckles.
I remember listening to like one Knuckles rap, and he's talking about the power of the Master Emerald compels me to feel.
It's nothing like that. One thing I will point out about the song is the thing that sticks out to me about a lot of the songs in this game are the percussion.
Percussion.
So I'm curious what
you
all think about that.
Okay.
So just keep it.
We will try to keep an open mind as we listen to Unawakening Float. And the composer I have is Kenichi Takoi. But let's take a listen to Unawakening Float from Sonic and the Secret Rings. Here we go. Well, luckily, there's very sparse vocals. This is Unawakening Float from Sonic and the Secret Rings.
I think I might have to jump ship because I kind of like that one.
No, I do like it. I really like the groove and I like the chord progression. I love that drum sound. Not a big fan of the vocals, but there's not really much there. And I think,
dude, you know what the whole groove and everything reminds me of? It reminds me of the track that plays when you're selecting your car in Burnout 2.
Ah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
That one's great.
We played that game just ad nauseum at our house. Burnout 2, that was the game for us.
Wow, that's all. Yeah, we used to own that game. That's cool.
I was probably one of the five people in the world that owned, there was like this GameCube, like steering wheel peripheral.
nice.
And like the pedals, Logitech. Too. The foot pedals.
The wheel and the pedals.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that's my last Sonic song on my list. So, spoilers for Stevens. But
the next one
is
actually really, really, I'm a big fan of as well.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah, no, that one's great.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think for this song, I actually forget sometimes that it has vocals just because I'm so focused on the rhythm it's putting down and just that drum set. It has so much life to it. Like, it doesn't lay dormant, and I can just listen to the drums the whole song and enjoy myself.
Yeah, you guys love your pop chord progressions and your really, like, modern, polished rock sounds. I gotta
Who
say
wouldn't like that stuff,
Absolutely.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I look for in video games, because I honestly very rarely find that satisfying in non-video game music.
Yeah, right.
So.
I completely agree. You know, it's funny. It's like, because this doesn't really sound like anything you could flip on the radio and listen to nowadays. Mm-hmm. So I think you're very right about some elements of older, you know, 80s, 90s, some early 2000s pop music that really find themselves in more contemporary games where they may be absent in pop culture.
I heard the new Sonic Boom is atrocious, by the way.
Oh, that, yeah. That's
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, let's move on. We're now going to move on to a Steven track. This is Shadow of the Colossus. Obviously, we're very familiar with this soundtrack.
Another pop song.
No. Koatani wouldn't do that to us. This is Counterattack. We haven't played this track on the podcast. So why did you pick this track, Steven?
I picked this track because, A, Shadow of the Colossus is one of my favorite games of all time. And it's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. But in specific, Counterattack is kind of this perfect mixture of the desperation and empowering action that Shadow of the Colossus gives you in spades.
And I believe this is the battle with the Colossus, right?
Oh, yes. This is one of the Colossus battles.
Awesome. Well, this is once again composed by Ko Otani. Let's take a listen to Counter Attack. This is Counter Attack from Shadow of the Colossus, which came out for the PS2, composed by Ko Otani. Man, this really is emotion, tension-filled piece of music.
It is one of those songs that kind of fills you with awe, right? Like, divorced from the game, you can't quite understand the power of what's happening on screen, but you can right. still understand there is something great and terrible before you. But there's something in like the strings or the rising nature of the song that makes you think you have a chance.
Now, this game came out in 2005, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was 2005.
Now,
are you too familiar with it? Did you ever play it?
Yeah. Never played it, but very familiar with it. I mean, my friends were really into this game, so I remember going over to their house and watching them play it. And I'm obviously very familiar with the soundtrack. But
what about you, Will?
Yeah, I'm only a fan of the soundtrack. I was probably a little bit too young for this game as far as like something that I would play. I was more mm-hmm. interested in, you know, Mario Sunshine. And
to be honest, you know, we never had a PS2.
Oh, wow. This is something, if you have any way to play it, if you want homework, go back and try this game because it stands the test of time, especially the PS3.
It's definitely, I know most people say it's like the best PS2 game.
Yeah, it's...
I would say that.
The thing about it is unique. Like, there's never been a game like it since and never really one like it before. So it's
Remember who developed this one?
Yeah, it was Team Eco, and they're part of Sony, and they made this and Eco, which is the...
Wow.
So they're basically a team existing just to make games in the series, so...
That's pretty awesome. Well, yeah, that's a great track. I think we're going to move on to... I'm really excited about this. This is another pick from Brian. This is Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft. Surprisingly, this track, Pull Up a Chair, is composed by our good friend Peter McConnell. Talk to us about this track.
Absolutely. So for Hearthstone, specifically, why I chose something from this is it is easily my most played game this year. It came out into open beta this year, and ever since it came out, I've basically been obsessed with it.
Okay.
It's for people that don't know, it's basically a trading card game in the World of Warcraft universe. And fantastic digital trading card game. I think easily the best that's ever been released. But the music is what really struck me about it early on as one of the biggest things that set it apart, because it wants to create this friendly tavern atmosphere where you're playing a game in this, you know, kind of medieval setting. And wow, does it do that in spades. Bringing Peter McConnell on for it was just a genius move, and everything just is so welcoming and also so rife. So many of the different melodies and riffs that they play throughout the song are actually nods to other existing pieces in Warcraft music.
Well, and to me, something I love, I really like Peter McConnell is someone I think when you take him out of his comfort zone, you're going to get something unabashedly creative.
Well, if I know Peter, I would assume this is real performance as well, because he loves real
Absolutely.
Instruments. Well, with that said, let's take a listen to Pull Up a Chair from Hearthstone.
Oh, it's good to see you again. Pull up a chair by the hearth.
Oh,
What a badass track. And of course we have some bassoon as we fade down here. This is Pull Up a Chair from Hearthstone, composed by the wonderful Peter McConnell. He nails this vibe, doesn't he?
He does. And what's cool about it, and what I hinted at before, is a lot of the different melodies that play, I think even the one playing now, he has like three or four different Warcraft songs woven into this.
Oh,
and
yes.
You would not guess that he's drawing from so many different sources for how cohesive it all is. But
absolutely.
If you know Warcraft, you're like, oh, I know that and that and that. It's really cool.
Now, this is the first game in the Warcraft series that they brought Peter on for, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Man.
They've had tavern music similar to this in the past, and it's been fantastic. They got David Arkenstone for a lot of that. We actually just released an episode a few weeks back with him on it, and
awesome.
That stuff's been fantastic. But Peter McConnell definitely also rose to the occasion and made music that was even more like friendly and inviting,
right.
And really fit with your
right,
trying to
right.
do for Hearthstone.
And like that's one of the genius moves of this whole soundtrack, because it takes the epic war sounds from Warcraft and weaves them into this friendly, welcoming, pull up a chair, you know, tavern song.
Yeah.
Like you can just sit back and tap your toe to this, and it's.
And, like, every song is this good.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I highly recommend the soundtrack.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love hearing new Peter McConnell music. I will always be obliged to play a new Peter track. So now we're going to move on to a track from Sonic Adventure, but this is a Steven pick.
What? Sonic? Again?
This is the last... Actually, this isn't the last Sonic track. We lied earlier. There's another Sonic track later on. And I think that's a Brian pick, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll get to that. Sonic Adventure came out for the Dreamcast. This track, composed by Jun Sunaway.
This is one of the only 3D Sonic games that I played and completed.
Mm.
Yeah, and I would say definitely this is before the series, and for me, some of the music kind of really went too far downhill. So there's some really good stuff in the soundtrack. This is Azure Blue World, and this is a killer melody. This is one of the melodies that it doesn't seem like Jun Sunaway is missing a beat at all from his work on the Genesis. You could put this into Sonic 3D Blast and it would totally fit right in. Such a great melody.
That's a great point.
Why did you pick, I mean, obviously that's probably why you picked this track, right?
Well, funny you should mention that. Just a quick aside, actually, Windy Valley, which is another song from Sonic Adventure, sounded so at home in this game, and I found out it was from Sonic Adventure.
Yeah, it's a special stage theme.
No, I think it's Green Grove.
It's Green Grove Act 1, I think.
Yep. Which is the best track in the game, which is a phenomenal piece
of
music.
Good. But as for why I chose this track, it's because I had to pick something from Sonic Adventure. I felt that in my heart. And this was probably the first song I heard from the game, because I played it in a demo kiosk at some electronics store back in 99.
I did
it was
too.
Released.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. And the music, I have to admit, was very, you know, quiet, because, you know, they just wanted you to see it, buy it, take it home. But I could just barely hear that. I always wondered, like, what it
was. This is the track from the first stage, right?
It sure is. Sonic's first stage from Emerald Coast. The beach zone. It's this massive, open, sparkling, like, welcome to the future kind of level. And I think this is exactly the song that they needed for it.
Let's take a listen to this track, composed by Jun Sunaway.
We'll be right back.
Cool, you're listening to Azure Blue World from Sonic Adventure by Jun Senoway. Such a killer melody. Love
Man, it. This is kind of the song that represents my favorite taste in video game music. It's optimistic, it feels open air, there's this electric guitar that just sounds like it's having just as good of a time as you are.
Yeah, that's great.
I couldn't agree more, Steven. This is always one of the reasons I play this game is just for this song. Like, in this whole first level, I think, is honestly like the highlight of the game for me.
We were talking about this while we were playing it, but I really miss this kind of style from Jun Senoway. For some reason, he's really fallen off as of late. I don't know what's going on with this guy, but I wish that he would go back to this style, because the chords are every bit as interesting and crafted as the stuff he would have done on the Genesis. I think this is just a great Sonic track.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. It's actually one reason that I think Sonic Adventure might be my favorite soundtrack of any of them, is there's just so much experimentation and so much like joy and fun behind everything they do with it. And I don't know, I agree with you that after that, it got a lot darker, a lot more rocky. I mean, rock-influenced. Maybe one reason is because Sonic Team moved to San Francisco, or at least a branch of them did during Sonic Adventure 2's development.
Interesting.
And that's why it basically took place in San Francisco.
Wow.
And maybe Joan really started getting more Western influences in his music or something.
That's really, really interesting. Yeah, this track will always have a really important place, because whenever I hear it, it reminds me of our history of video game music. This was a track we played in the background when we were starting to talk about the Dreamcast era in that episode.
Nice.
Oh, so for some reason, this one always just like is like super important to me. All right, now time to move back to Brian. This is Animal Crossing Wild World. Tell us about this game.
Okay, so Animal Crossing Wild World was the second Animal Crossing game released in the U.S. and it was on the DS. And Steven and I were ridiculously hyped for this coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We were huge Animal Crossing fans, and the idea of being able to play it multiplayer and just getting a new Animal Crossing was one of the first games that we just, you know, counted the days down for release.
Well, your podcast, Train Station at 8, is based on Animal Crossing, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It is. And the reason I chose this song is this is currently our theme song for Train Station 8. I did a rendition of this. Yeah, I did a rendition of this for our theme song, and so it seemed really fitting to bring on here. It's my favorite song from that game.
Wow.
I still prefer the original Animal Crossing for music overall, but this is just a really beautiful melody that just exemplifies relaxing at night in the wonderful world of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I love the Animal Crossing soundtracks. I think it's a great outlet because it still sounds like Nintendo music, but where most Nintendo music is scoring this sort of like action, fun, adventure kind of thing, this is just so laid back and kind of at a leisurely pace that I think it showcases what makes classic Nintendo music so great.
Well, we have some great Nintendo composers here. We have Katsumi Tataka in Asuka Oda. This track is 8 p.m. from Animal Crossing Wild World. Beautiful, calming song. This is 8 p.m. from Animal Crossing Wild World.
You know, guys, this is really a wonderful theme song for Train Station at 8. I recognize it from the guitar arrangement that you play on it, but, you know, it really is such a fitting song, especially for the kind of vibe that you guys have on your show, which is just very friendly, laid back, and kind of a fun vibe, and I think this really captures that.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, that's what we thought, too, and that's how I went for it. Also, fun little fact, it's 8 p.m. from Wild World, which is just so ridiculously fitting for Train Station 8.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
the theme's run deep.
Yeah,
But that really is wonderful to hear, because we put a lot of thought into which song we were going to arrange. We knew it had to be Animal Crossing, and Brian came up with this one, and it was just perfect. That's exactly what we needed.
It's so simple.
That's what I love about Animal Crossing music, though. It's so simple, but it really lingers with you for a while.
Exactly. It's like a minute.
I feel like, for me, there's no doubt this is a Tataka composition. This sounds so much like Tataka, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, I was noticing that recently. We were putting together the Hirokazu Tanaka episode, and I was listening to the Mario Paint music, which, much like this, it's very slow building, but incredibly beautiful and melodic. And I know Kasumi Tataka also worked on that game, and just when I was going through it, I'm just like, I don't know if we can play any of these tracks, because they all sound so like Kasumi Tataka. I couldn't imagine any of those being Hip Tanaka, because he has such a distinct melodic sound.
He had more involvement, actually, anyway. So I think now it's time to move on to Jet Set Radio Future. This track is Funky Dealer, and the soundtrack is composed by Hideki Naganuma. Now, why did you pick this track?
I love Naganuma. And maybe one of those reasons is because he actually composed a Sonic soundtrack. He did the Sonic Rush, the original Sonic Rush on DS.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that game. I actually enjoyed that game.
Yeah, it's one of the best. And Funky Dealer is just so bizarre and fun. I mean, Naganuma is a master of finding these old sound effects or clips from TV shows, radio shows, anything he can find, and just stuffing them into the song and putting them to this insane beat. And you will soon hear those effects.
I'm looking forward to the insanity here. This is Funky Dealer from Jet Set Radio Future.
I'm a winner. Pay the front line, take the don'ts. He's coming out again for a new point. Get your bets now, ladies and gentlemen. Four fours to point, mark four. Ace, deuce, crap, 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 mark four. Ace, deuce, ace, deuce, crap, crap, mark four. Crap, mark four. Who wants the hard four? Five wants four.
Check me out, John.
Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Nine a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Four, and he made us the hard way. Hey, the front line takes the hard. You have a shooter and a good one. Coming out for a new point. Get your bets now, ladies and gentlemen. He's a rolling point as nine. Place nine. Place nine. Eight, shooting for nine. Five, shooting for nine. Rolling point is nine, place nine. Eight shooting for nine, five shooting for nine. Who wants to come? Six to point.
Check me out, John.
Nine a winner, got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies.
That is so funny. It sounds like he's rapping. But I know, like, how he did this. You know, he's taking these little samples and piecing them together in the right rhythms. But it really sounds like this old guy from the 20s is rapping. This is Funky Dealer from Jet Set Radio Future. What a goofy track.
This is pretty much the musical experience of hearing a poker announcer, caster, essentially, singing in a Naganuma song, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just so catchy. It's almost dangerous to play in the car. Because I get so focused on the beat, I think I start
Well, and also people
bit.
Would think you're talking to yourself.
Well, that too. Right. That happens every day. But no, yeah, this is one of my favorite Jet Set Radio songs. Possibly my very favorite. It's got the magic stuff in it.
It's groovy, one might say.
Yeah, it's so funky.
It is very funky, and it's called Funky Dealer, so I was, you know, I kind of had my arms
you're
folded,
expecting
but it is funky.
Yes.
they're bringing the funk for sure.
Yes, for sure.
I would actually, personally, I would like to hear an instrumental version. Does that exist anywhere?
I bet you could find one. I don't know, though. To me, the draw is that voice, though. I just
right.
so
right.
It's so endearing to me, but
oh, absolutely.
I'm sure it exists on the internet somewhere.
Cool. Well, I think it's time to play our last Sonic track of the day. This is the last Brian pick of the day, and he wanted us to play a track from Sonic 3D Blast, but hold on, folks, the Saturn version, composed by Richard Jakes, and this is a version that couldn't be more different from John Senoway's Genesis version. But it's cool. Yep. Like, I like both versions in different ways.
And Richard Jakes is like a really great video game composer who's still active today.
So yeah, you want us to play Rusty Ruin Act 1 from Saturn version, right?
Absolutely, yeah. This song is just beautiful. I didn't actually like the game that much, but this song
No, you shouldn't have, because it was bad.
Bad game, but good music.
I can't tell you how many hours I still played this game just because it's like, oh, well, I should play it because it's Sonic, right? And it has good music.
Yeah, exactly. You learned your lesson eventually.
All right, let's take a listen to Rusty Ruin from 3D Blast, composed by Richard Jakes. Rusty Ruin Act 1, Saturn version by Richard Jakes from Sonic 3D Blast. You were telling us, Brian, about there was an original game called Flickies?
Yeah, called Flicky. I think it was on the Genesis, and you ran around and controlled this little bird, saving other birds and bringing them to the exit. My theory is this was a Flicky game, and they slapped Sonic on a la Sonic, Star Fox Adventures.
Wow. Interesting.
That's my guess.
And that would explain why...
Because it plays exactly like that in 3D.
And because the game is so slow... and, you know, that's kind of not Sonic's thing. So maybe it makes sense that this is such a laid-back, thoughtful...
And much like Star Fox Adventures, this music sounds nothing like Sonic. Right. And Star Fox Adventures sounded nothing like Star Fox.
Mm-hmm. Very good
and
point.
And bringing in a different composer for it.
Both of them have cool music, nonetheless.
For sure. I mean, both great composers.
One thing that I remember about Sonic 3D Blast is, like, I've never experienced another game where, whether it's 2D, 3D, it's like 2.5D or whatever, it's never been harder and more scary to be like right next to something and you still have no idea if you're actually going to be able to touch it or not.
Yes!
It's so hard to move.
Oh, another strong memory from Sonic 3D Blast for me is having the CD-ROM, putting it into a CD player, and realizing, we can listen to the music. And then it's like, we don't have to play the game anymore. Let's just skip to the end and listen to all the
I wish I could have done that with the Genesis version.
Yeah, man.
That would have broken the CD player, I'm afraid.
A cartridge slot in an old Ford Focus would be the best thing ever.
This has been such a great time. Thanks so much, Stephen and Brian, for joining us on Favorites with Friends Volume 2, the Kelly edition. Thanks a lot, guys. This has been so much fun.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, guys, definitely. I hope you come back on the show because... if you're a fan of our show and aren't aware of Train Station at 8, you should definitely check it out. We've actually been on there a few times to talk about some of our favorite music. But what's cool is their show is much more laid back. And now, recently you guys have been doing... Well, for actually a while now, you've been doing where you just focus on one track every episode. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the opposite of ours, where we're constantly rushing and just cramming in a lot of music and doing a lot of analysis. You guys kind of take your time and break down a song from all the different aspects.
So yeah, once again, the website, whalesarewhales.com. Is that right, guys?
That is 100% correct. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, right on the front page there will be a Train Station Date logo. You can click on that and you'll come into the page for that. And all our other shows will be up there too.
Yeah,
Awesome, awesome. Once again, Stephen and Brian Kelly, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to play out with Stephen's last pick from Kid Icarus Uprising, Solo Menu. This one's composed by Motoi Sakuraba. It's one of the themes that is used in a bunch of different variations. It's a really awesome theme.
Yeah, it totally caught me off guard. I played this game randomly one day, knowing nothing about it, and I got this. And I could not have been happier.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Head on over to our website, supermercadobrothers.com. You can find our podcast as well as our original music.
You can also get Carl a throat lozenge. There's a donate button underneath.
There is a donate button, but and I guess that could go for lozenges.
A lozenge fund.
We're going to play you guys out with this Uprising track. Have a great week.
Peace out.
Oh, goodbye.